More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lanning, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
Live and in effect from beautiful Indianapolis, it's Red versus Blue Radio. We've got big announcements in the world of high-stakes fantasy football. We're going to bring it next. 60 seconds.
One bleeds red, and one bleeds blue. Two friends, one heated rivalry. It's intense. It's no holds barred. It's game time. On Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio with your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
Hello, everybody, and good evening. Welcome to Red vs. Blue Sports Talk Radio, wherever you may be. Thanks for making us part of your night. I have some sad news to announce. A few days ago, I was made aware that one of our high-stakes friends and competitors, Brian McMullen, passed away, known on the boards as Whipping Post. We're going to miss Brian. He was a good contributor to the boards and a great competitor in our Genesis League. Mike, I don't know if you had the chance to know who Whipping Post was on the boards, but he died too young, and all the information is over on the FFPC boards. But I just wanted to recognize him before we started the show.
Absolutely, Scott. I had some interaction with Whipping Post, with Brian, back and forth a couple times since I've been part of the world of high-stakes fantasy football, and it was really sad to hear that, and it was shocking, and you don't like anything like that happens, and my thoughts and prayers are with his family, and I'm sure he's in a great place, but it's sad.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I thought my mom was young at 53 when she passed. And, you know, you just never know when this when God has a plan. When it's your time, it's your time. And, you know, we enjoyed Whipping Post and Brian while he was here on our boards and while he competed in the leagues. And, you know, I just wanted to mention him, but it was too early. He was only 44, Mike.
Yeah, you know that's unbelievable. I mean, it comes and gets you, whatever it may be, before you know it. And I remember. I'll never forget the morning that you sent me a text message that you had lost your mom, and I remember losing my dad about a year and a half ago, and these things happen. But, you know, when you're that young, it just doesn't seem fair. But, like you said, God has a plan, and I'm a firm believer.
Well, we always take time to recognize the fantasy players on Red vs. Blue. A big part of our show is bringing out and introducing to the world the high-stakes players, and Brian was one. Matter of fact, just to give you a little bit of an idea for those of you that don't know, Brian, in his obituary online, you can see it here, but this just goes to show you how big of a fantasy football fan and how much the industry meant to him. On his obituary, the comment was he enjoyed making fantasy projections in fantasy football or in professional football. It just goes to show you that this meant a lot to him.
Very good at it.
And as it does all of us, you know, it's a passion of ours and it's a obsession. By the way, I'm your host, Scott Adkins, Team Legacy, in the world of high stakes fantasy football. And I'm broadcasting live out of Indianapolis. I'm always joined by my Big Blue co-host from Brandenburg, Kentucky, Mike Trent. And Mike, tonight we've got a lot of news. We've just got to get to it. We've got to keep moving on, and I know that's what Brian will want us to do, and we're going to continue to tribute to Brian in our Genesis League over at the FFPC, the Fantasy Football Players Championship. And we're going to – one of the guys there is kind enough to put together a trophy. That's John Duckworth. Yellow Line is unofficial. And in the chat room, War Kittens, he's one of the Red vs. Blue crew. He is bringing together a Brian McMullen Memorial Trophy. He's purchasing a traveling trophy.
Nice.
Yeah, it'll reside annually with the reigning Genesis champion. And as John put it, Whip will live on with the crew of Genesis. So kudos John for taking care of
nice
that.
Nice touch. Very nice touch. That's always, you know, in our and what we deal with through day-to-day, when you deal with something like this, it's always nice for the fantasy football community to come together, and that's awesome.
Yep. Okay, we have to get to the news. There's big news in the world of high-stakes fantasy football today, and not only today, but this past week, there's a lot of things going on. We're going to try to get to all that this week. I want to remind all of you guys that are FFPC fans and have been listeners of the Red vs. Blue, next Friday night, Mike, is the Big Payback Satellite Draft. It is going to be an absolute blast. Mm-hmm. We are going to be commentating the draft live. You come here, we'll give you a link. You'll be able to watch the draft unfold live on Mock Draft Central. Jeffrey Stein has it all ready to go for us. You're going to be able to log in and see the draft unfold, as well as we're going to be commentating and breaking it down. You're going to see the best of the best getting together for this draft. They're all ponying up $500 for a seat at the Big Payback Draft in Las Vegas next year, where one person will walk away with $25,000. That's going to be a huge draft, Mike. I've been stoked about this for months. There's a huge, huge cast. I would have loved to have been part of it. The Big Payback Draft is a $5,000 entry fee over at the FFPC, and hey, they have one spot left, and I'm just dying to jump in. But
Don't do it. Let's commentate.
The Sharks are there.
That's next Friday night, right?
Yeah, and we've got a couple of those Sharks in here, Cocktails and Dreams and Day Drinker Josh. Those guys are part of this thing. And, you know, there's one spot left, and I've got a guy in mind that would possibly be a co-manager, and we're going to see if we can't pull that together. I know there's only one spot left, but that's a lot to come out of for just one league, so we'll see. Hey, just to jump ship a little bit, we do have our sleepers and duds to release tonight. We've had a lot of action in the preseason football. Mike, you're not too high on the preseason football, but
no.
I'll tell you what, the preseason gets me going every year.
Well, I'll tell you what, I love the games. You know, it's fun to see, you know, the right tackle and the, you know, all the tackles get into each other and everything start going on. But, no, I'm not a big fan of preseason football. You know, if they could limit that to 2-3 games, then I'm satisfied. But anyway, you know, it's kind of fun to get the juices flowing, and let's see what happens.
Well, I get into it every year, and It gives me the value plays that I like late. The other night, I identified one that I've been high on. I just wanted to see him in action, and I saw him for a couple of plays. He is my sleeper wide receiver this year that you can get late in the draft for the Tennessee Titans, Nate Washington, Mike. They brought this kid in. He's got all kinds of speed. That defense of the Titans likely going to be less this year, and I see Nate Washington playing a big, big role alongside of Justin Gage in that offense. So I think he's a guy that can immediately contribute for you on a week-to-week basis, and I think you can catch this guy, Nate Washington of the Tennessee Titans. That's my sleeper wide receiver that can help you win your fantasy league this year.
You know, I don't. You know, that's not bad, but I mean, I would like to see a sleeper from a different team because Tennessee.
Yeah.
Let's face it, they're run all
yeah.
the way around. But you know, it's fun to try to get them sleepers and try to catch them. So it's not a bad pick.
Well, you may like my sleeper running back then much better because it comes from a ground attack offense. Amon Bradshaw, you can get this guy in the 10th round. It's a major value. I know I'm probably ticking off some guys in the chat room for releasing this, but Amon Bradshaw will be a play that you can put in there, a guy you can put in there week to week, and I'm thinking he can win your fantasy league for you, Mike.
Okay. Well, you know, there's not – I don't have a problem with that. Has there ever been a big-time player that's become a sleeper, like a LT? Is LT a sleeper? I think so.
No, I
would consider LT a sleeper right now because nobody is going to – I mean, I don't know where he's going. He can't be going very high, so you might want to take a chance on him.
Well, he's going in the first round. You're not going to pass him in the first round at some point, so I can't call that a sleeper. But, you know, hey,
well,
we've got – We'll release some more. We've got more to talk about. But I tell you what, I want to get to this news. Let me go ahead and get on this switchboard here and kill this little clip. We have some switchboard issues. But I want to talk about this news that happened today. And, well, you know what? I don't even need to talk about it. We've got a caller. Our guest tonight is Greg Ambrosius from the National Fantasy Football Championship, Mike.
Cool.
I know I told you about this a couple minutes before the show. But Mike, Greg, and Tom hopefully can join us as well. Greg, are you with me?
Yep, I'm here, Scott.
Okay, let's see. Do we have Tom with us too?
He's on hold. I know that.
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. Hey, there's Tom. All right.
Greg and Tom. Hey, thanks a lot, Greg.
Yeah,
Tom.
No problem.
Well, Greg, I'm going to let you tell us what happened here. I know I've got the article that you posted right here in front of me. But there's a big acquisition that happened, and Mike and I have been playing your event for several years now. I'm just the first year, and then I told Mike about it after year one, and he's been with me ever since. And we have yet to cash in your contest, but it has been a thorn in our side, but we will not give up, and we're going to figure out that 14-teamer. So Tell us what's going on with this event.
Well, I mean, the National Fantasy Football Championship was started in 2004, 2 years after WCOFF. We debuted as a 14-team format, and the week before them over Labor Day weekend. And, you know, we're really not a competition to them at that time. I mean, we're just trying to fill a void, and the 14-team format was a very unique format. We were the industry's first multi-city high-stakes event. We had drafts in New York, Chicago, and Las Vegas. We kind of wanted to bring the events to people rather than have everybody fly out to Las Vegas. So we've kind of created a nice little niche here, but, you know, over 6 years, we really haven't taken the next step. And I really think this is a watershed year for the fantasy industry. I really think that consolidation is in the cards. I think the bigger companies are going to start to get stronger. You see this in every industry. I mean, I've been in the baseball card industry for over 20 years, and you saw this, how the mom and pops created the fantasy or the baseball card boom in the 80s. But then big dealers, big distributors, big card companies all got bigger and better and kind of took over the industry. Not all for the good, unfortunately. But in the fantasy industry, I can kind of see this happening right now, too. And so, you know, even though we're with a big company, F&W Publications, You know, I've been here 20 years. Today we were sold, our entire fantasy sports division, all the magazines we do, and our high-stakes baseball and football events were sold to fanball.com. We're part of Liberty
Wow.
Media now, and we're very excited. Tom and I are on board. We're part of the move. We will be working for Fanball. We'll have an office here in Iola, Wisconsin, but Tom and I are staying on board. We're not leaving after 3 months or anything. We're here for the duration, and I think what we've got now is a huge promotional partner that can market the high-stakes event to already established fantasy players. CDM has, you know, almost 1 million unique players over the last 20 years of their business, and Fanball has a great site, and Liberty Media obviously has TV and all kinds of promotional reach. So we think this is a fabulous move for our high-stakes event, and I think we're going to be in a lot of markets quickly.
Well, Greg, I noticed there were also Roto. Roto Times is involved in this in some manner?
Well, Roto Times, yeah, is part of Fanball, and they do
okay.
a magazine and a website. And the funny thing is we actually tried to buy Roto Times 3 years ago. I think they accepted our price, and Tom and I were ready to start working for them. We were going to buy them and make their online site, and now here we are 3 years later. Their parent company bought everything that we have here.
Okay. Well, and I don't know, I'm sure both of you guys can comment on this, but I see Roto, I'll be watching NFL Network or ESPN, and I'll see a Roto commercial come on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know they're putting out the marketing dollars here, so I would expect it. Maybe that would mean quite a bit of mainstream attention for the NFFC.
Well, we sure hope so. I mean, again, they have a lot of reach, and, you know, Liberty owns DirecTV. DirecTV has a Sunday NFL ticket. You know, you watch the Red Zone on Channel 702 and you get every play. I don't think there's any question that we all believe that there could be a fantasy channel on DirecTV as well, on Sunday pregame shows, just dedicated to fantasy. And I think the guys at Fanball feel the same way. And if we can get the Year of Liberty with all the things that we have going here, I could see a fantasy channel. I mean, there's plenty of space on DirecTV for another channel, and hopefully one day we'll be able to get this way, and hopefully Tom and I will be part of it.
Well, I Greg, I totally agree, because a lot of Sundays when I watch football, I'm looking at games, you know, on your local network, this mm-hmm. and that, or on the Sunday ticket, and I ultimately end up going to NFL Network and
right.
seeing the Red Zone.
Right.
Type deal.
Right.
But, you know, the Red Zone type deal, they don't tell you everything that's going on with your
right.
fantasy players, your position players, your quarterbacks,
right.
your running backs, your wide receivers. So you might have something on that, and that would be really neat to just, you know, break down what's
well,
happening with the wide receiver, the quarterback, the running back, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. I was at a trade conference last November in New York, and Fox was there and CBS are on a panel, and they said that 47% of people that watch the NFL these days have a laptop open. So they know that it's fantasy players. I mean,
yeah.
that's fantasy players, obviously, who want the streaming stats, and they want to know exactly what's happening. Well, why don't we just marry that all on the TV itself? Just create a fantasy
right.
channel where all of this is available, where you click the box score and you're getting live scoring and stuff. There's no question that's a year or two away at the most. And, you know, there's no reason why we both should have a laptop and the TV on. Let's just create that channel that everybody's looking for.
Sure.
Tom, maybe, hey, and as long as we don't get the host of the Red Zone channel that we have now, what is his name? I can't think of his name.
I can't think of him. I know who you're talking about.
Oh, he gets on my nerves so
yeah.
bad.
Yeah.
But, hey, Tom, maybe you can comment on this. Tell us about, because we saw a merger last year or of sorts when NBC came on board, and we thought that was going to be some big things. What exactly happened there?
Well, I think it was a situation where both sides, we didn't really generate the partnership the way both sides wanted to, and it didn't really go the way we all wanted it to. And I still think, and I agree with Greg, that the future of the high-stakes industry really lies in partnerships and sponsorships and being able to attract a larger audience. And that's something we tried to do with NBC and really weren't able to do, but we feel like the difference with Fanball is we have that dedicated list of proven fantasy players like Greg says, I mean, the fan ball and CDM reputation and history that they have in the league, we know, or in the industry, we know that we're going to be able to reach these people, and we think they're the type of people who are going to want to come in and play our games. And maybe it's not the $1,400 entry fee for the NFSC Classic. Maybe it's a $250 satellite or a $350 online championship. That's the thing. We've got a number of ways to a number of options to appeal to these people, and we think that we're going to have the opportunity now to reach them, and not just with football and baseball, but going forward with basketball and maybe some other sports as well. So that's really what's exciting to me about this, is we've got an opportunity now to take something that Greg and I have been able to grow over the past 6 years and really blow it up in huge ways. And we're both very confident and excited that this is going to happen, and we think the possibilities for us are really endless right now.
Jeff, I remember when CDM come together as fantasy baseball. That was about 15 years ago, and then them and Fanball came together. How did that how did that happen?
Well, I mean, CDM was started in 93, so they've been around 17 years, I believe. CDM Diamond Challenge was the number one salary cap game right from the get-go. You know, they started doing it for the Sporting News. They ran the USA Today Diamond Challenge. So they've been working with third parties and growing their business. About 3 years ago, Fanball purchased CDM. Fun Technology owned both of those. And then Fun Technology sold this to DirecTV, Liberty Media, about 2 years ago. So, you know, there's acquisitions going on all over the place, and that's what you're seeing now, is the big are getting bigger, and Tom and I are excited to be part of a big company right now. We think they have a lot of promotional might and can take us to the next level. So there's a compilation of some good companies in the industry when you think about it. Fanball, CDM, and Krause Publications, those were three solid companies at one point, and they're all under one roof right now.
That's got to feel good.
Well, before we talk about the Classic and the prime time, because both of those events we're in this year, and I want to talk about those, but we're talking about Fanball as well, and they have that other contest where they gave away $1 million last year, the Open Championship. Are there plans in place maybe to merge somehow with the FFOC?
No, the FFOC is a private company. I mean, they only use Fanball for their back-end support. So Fanball runs the game for them, but it's privately owned by somebody else. So,
gotcha.
You know, it's possible that there could be some cross-promotions or something that we would do together. But at this point, I mean, they are a different entity, so they're not owned by Fanball at all.
Okay. And so this merger, this means that Krause Publications is completely out of the picture this year for the NFFC.
Krause Publications, or F&W Media now that we're called, they are out of fantasy sports completely.
Okay.
Their business model is doing more database online and some other things. And, you know, I think they saw that this was going to be tough to continue to grow the high stakes. You know, Scott, it's interesting. A lot of players want us to give out a higher percentage of prize money, but honestly, we're paying out about 78% right now for football. And when you start putting in the expenses on top of that, the profit margin is small, even if you sell out. And this is getting to be a very competitive area. And Fanball liked it, and F&W chose to get out of it. So F&W will no longer be in the fantasy space.
Well, I think we all know as businesses get bigger, the average person likes to think that things get easier, but the costs start rolling in. The expenses get just bigger and bigger as your company grows. So
yeah,
I think most of us understand that, but hey, we're still holding out for as high a payout as we can get. Obviously,
yep.
We're always going to do that. But you know what? The funny thing is, though, Greg, and what I'm trying to wrap my head around, I mean, so it must have been a bigger decision than just the results driven of what happened with Primetime last year. But Primetime's bigger this year than last, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, we got a chance to sell out. I mean, last year, with, like Tom said, the partnership with NBC Sports, we really felt that we were going to sell both of them out at max levels, 396 teams, 392
yep.
teams. And so we based our guaranteed prize money on that. And, of course, when we fell short, we still guarantee the prize money. And so we probably ended up paying out 94% last year, which is tough to
wow.
do business when you're
wow.
got expenses on top of that. So this year we did lower our expectations, and you know, our prize money is based on 300 teams and 322, and we certainly have a great chance to sell out both of them. So, you know, the key is being smart with your guarantees. You just can't keep shooting for the moon year after year after year. The key is sell out. Create a first-class contest. You know, have good customer service, that kind of stuff. And we've proven that over 6 years, but it's a competitive field. And so we just had to lower our expectations this year, and we're going to sell out both of them and have one hell of a year.
Well, you're listening to Greg and Tom from the National Fantasy Football Championship. If you have any questions, feel free to give us a call. 347-324-5404 is the number. Let's talk about this classic in primetime then, because we're joined up in both of these, Mike and I. And so we're drafting in Chicago. And let me just say, it always feels like we're kind of the stepchild. You know, we get Greg in Vegas. You maybe get Tom in New York, or maybe vice versa. And then we're just kind of left out here. We come in, the draft is there, but the event isn't really there. Maybe the speech or the simulcast or something like that. And I know you guys have added Ryan Houston, and so he's a pretty good fantasy mind. Does this mean that you know, that we're going to have Ryan in Chicago with us this year? Or?
Yeah, I think Ryan's going to be there. And you know, if you need dancing girls to spice that up down there, we'll send them there. We got too many in Vegas, anyways. But you know,
dancing girls in New York, though. Let's just keep that.
Yeah, you got excitement out there, no doubt about it. You know, it's funny when we first started this up. You know, we knew that people had big events, and WCFF always had that great event the night before at the ESPN Zone, and renting out the ESPN Zone is a hell of a party. And you know,
yeah.
Lenny and Amel did fabulous. I was out there the first 3 years, and it's just a great event. But you know, it takes a lot of money to do stuff like that, and so what we've decided is we're going to put on the best drafts. And as far as entertainment, we hope that you guys can find it on your own. You're all big boys, but you know, I think Ryan is going to spice it up in Chicago, and we're going to have a lot of fun out there. I know, Tom, you could speak about New York, but the family atmosphere that we've had now through 6 years is the best part. Guys, it's almost like we haven't seen each other for a year and get together and start tipping some beers and talking about how the kids are growing up and stuff like that.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that I like most about both the baseball and football events is it feels like a national local league. You know, every year we get together, like Greg says, it's a bit of a family reunion, but it's also got the feel of a local league, only at a much bigger level. And that's what makes it fun for me, is to be able to see these guys and then see the over the years the friendships that are made and people that get along. And you know, that's been the real exciting part of it for me, is seeing that every year and seeing it on kind of a bigger stage than just, you know, 12 guys or so, you know, 12 of your buddies who get together in a league every year. We do this on a much bigger stage and for much bigger stakes, obviously. But, you know, I think we've been able to really keep that local league feel to what we do, because that's the foundation of fantasy sports. It's, you know, you got together with, you know, 10, 11, 12 of your buddies maybe in college and started your first league. That's really where it all began. And we really wanted to keep that essence in the events, and I think we've really been able to do that.
So are you guys going to continue to have creative control here? Because what's made NFFC successful in my eyes, Greg and Tom, you guys have been active on the boards. We have KDS in the league. We have 3RR. There's obviously the 14-team format, the 6 points per touchdowns for quarterbacks. These are all things that make NFFC a unique challenge. These are things you guys came up with. War room style, you guys came up, and along with listening to the message board. But are you guys going to be able to continue and hopefully roll with those ideas?
Well, absolutely. I mean, Ryan and Charlie are smart guys and guys at Fanball. They're not buying us and hiring us to change what we've done through the last 6 years, both in baseball and football. I mean, right from the get-go, we've taken chances. We've been away from the mainstream. In baseball, we went with 15-team leagues. Everybody was used to 12-team leagues. When we went to football, we did go 14-team leagues. And why did we do that? Because it was a tougher challenge. I mean, we really wanted to make it tough for anybody to win $100,000, and 14-team leagues are very difficult. We did find, though, when we did 14-team leagues, that drafting at the end was pretty difficult to win. The random draft selections were tough, and, I mean, I struggled with that right away. Tom will know. I wouldn't even touch the draft spots. I would make Tom pick every one of them. I just hated giving somebody a bad draft spot, so I wouldn't even touch them, and Tom knows that. And so we started right away in 2004 talking about how we could improve the random draft selection and how we could maybe give a little more input to the owners. And so KDS started getting thrown around, which is called Kentucky Derby system. And what they do in the Kentucky Derby is whoever's pulled out of the hat first the trainer or owner gets to pick where he wants to be. If he wants to be on the outside,
yep.
he could take the 16 spot. Well, that's what we do here. We randomly pick them all, and then we let people tell us where they would like to pick. And so that's how that started. And then third round reversal, of course, just maybe it helped the people at the back end, because now you're going 1 through 14, 14 through 1, then you start round 3 at 14 again. Now all of a sudden that guy is getting 14, 15, and 29, and he's able to compete with the guy who had LT or Adrian Peterson, those type of guys. So the combination of KDS and 3RR has been working fabulously. We just pulled a $250 satellite league today. I posted the results. Seven people, 7 out of 14, got their first preference. Nobody got lower than their sixth preference, and the average was 2.3, which means on average everybody got like their second preference. Everybody
wow.
in that league is happy where they're drafting, and nobody's hollering at me or Tom, which is a great thing. But with this year, with that 3RR, so just 3RR, I don't think works. But the combination of KDS 3RR really works. And so
that's
that,
amazing.
It
that's
is.
Amazing
it,
because
it's very
I
amazing.
Thought,
yeah.
I thought this year that everybody would be waiting towards that 14, 13 pick, and to hear
well,
that.
Here's what is happening, Scott. I mean, people do want that 13, 14 because they want wide receiver or something like that. But you're seeing Andre Johnson and Fitzgerald going 7, 8, 9, Moss all of a sudden, Calvin Johnson 12. So some people have their KDSs way back. Some have them at 8, 9, 10. A lot of people
yeah.
like to be in the middle because they hate being parts of runs that they miss out on. And a lot of people still like having the number one pick or number two pick. So there's something there for everybody this year. So to answer your question, of course, Tom and I are going to continue to be innovative and continue to do things that are going to, you know, be different than other contests. We realize that. But Fanball is going to give us the freedom to be able to continue doing this because all of our contests right now are different than the mainstream, and our players like them. They may not be the biggest in the industry. 12-teamers would probably be a bigger format for us, but innovation is what we're going to continue to do.
Well, I'll tell you what, the 14-teamers, they're so challenging. And,
yes, they are.
Scott and I, we both have been, we scour over again and again trying to figure out how we can, you know, master the 14-teamer. And
we just boxed it. Yeah. We boxed it. We had it fall on our lap last year. We're drafting from like 13, and we end up with Marshawn Lynch and Marion Barber. And I'm just like, how did we land, you know, this kind
yeah.
of a combo? And then
yeah.
we just screwed it up from there. We took Cotchery over Bolden and just all kinds of mistakes, you know.
Yeah.
But,
well,
man,
you wouldn't think that the two extra teams would be that big a difference, but it really does make a difference.
It makes a heck of a difference.
Yep. Yep.
We have a caller from the 636. You are on the air with Greg and Tom from the NFFC.
So I'm just wondering, and this is Ryan Houston, if I install a stripper pole in Chicago, does that go against the beliefs of Greg and Tom, and are we in big trouble?
I thought I was making some of the decisions around here. That would go against our beliefs.
I know it would.
Ryan, you're not the one working the stripper pole, are you?
No, certainly not. But
okay.
I've been listening to the show, great show, guys, and I just wanted to call in and say how excited we are for on Fanball's behalf to have Greg and Tom part of our team. And we're looking forward to making some big decisions next week about the future of this contest. And obviously Greg and Tom will be the focus of this entire thing moving forward. So we're really excited, and you guys have a great show. And I just wanted to call in and say you guys are doing a great job.
Well, thanks, Ryan. Hey,
thanks,
and,
man.
You know, you got to remember, wives listen to this show sometimes. So please, we're allowed to go right now, okay? Let's
yeah.
keep it clean. As far as this show is concerned, we're going to, quote, keep it clean.
Yeah.
And whatever
My
happens in Chicago
right now.
Stays in Chicago.
Nah, I think we'll, I understand, you know, I mean, I've played this contest for a long time. You know, obviously we want to look at how to make them better and more in entertaining and, you know, all jokes aside, whatever we can do. But I can assure you if it comes out that Tom's going to run New York, you're in great hands there. Greg always does a great job, and we'll have a great time in Chicago. So I firmly believe that we'll have a great time in all of those places. And, you know, it's a great atmosphere just to be around a bunch of fantasy football diehards for a couple of days and just enjoying yourself and getting out there with friends who have the same passion. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad to be part of it. it was a lot of work. I can only assure you that me, you know, I sent a picture of myself to Greg today because I don't smoke, so I didn't have a celebratory cigar when we closed this deal. But I did put on my NFFC hat and send Greg a picture, and he thought that I got beaten up by the former owners pretty good. So.
Yeah, you looked pretty rough after that one, but you did a good job closing the deal, and we finally got it done. And, you know, the thing I posted on the boards is this is the beauty of it. I mean, Ryan has been playing in the NFFC and NFBC for 5 years. Charlie Wiegert's been playing in it. I mean, Fanball had 6 different teams in our baseball contest this year. We're being bought by people that really understand the passion of our audience, their players themselves. So are we going to make changes? Well, yeah, we're going to make some changes. But if we do make changes, they're going to be for the better of the game, for the better of the growth, and we're going to continue to go forward here. So, you know, we're being owned by players, and it doesn't get any better than that in this industry.
Well,
one thing I posted on the boards today, too, was this week we unveiled what we called the fence sitter giveaways. We had some 16x20 autographed photos of Larry Fitzgerald, and you know, we had 8x10 autographed photos of guys like Frank Gore, and those were things we gave to our signups for this week for our classic primetime and online championship events. And these came from Ryan and Fanball. And this is what I was saying on the boards. This is an example of what we can do now going forward, because we understand that we have the opportunity to reach a lot of people, and we have the opportunity to reach them in unique ways. So, you know, for this week, for example, we got people into the event, and we gave them something of real value. I mean, these are nice photos, and this is because of the partnership now and the working arrangement we have with Ryan and Fanball. So I really think it's kind of like the tip of the iceberg type of deal. We got something really nice and big this week, and that's kind of an example of what I think we're going to be able to do going forward.
Well, I've got Ryan on here. I've got to ask, how did this come about? Because there's lots of competitions out there. Were they a specific target for your company, or were there other offers out on the table, or how did this come about?
Well, I mean, I can't get into a lot of details. I can assure you that my primary focus for like 5 years has been to get Greg on my team and Tom on my team. I can only assure you of that. This isn't my first rodeo, as I like to say. So, I mean, I've been down this road a long time, and Greg and Tom have been on my radar for a long, long time. And, I mean, I've always appreciated this business because, again, like Greg said, I play this game. You know, I must toot my own horn. I'm in the top 12 lifetime on NFBC. So,
yeah.
You know, when I come to that draft, it's for real. And this is what I enjoy, and this is what I've always wanted to be part of. So when we had the opportunity to look at the business and have an opportunity to dive into it, I was really excited about adding it to what we do at Fanball, because Fanball is growing. We're continuing to look at targets to acquire and to roll into what we feel is a pretty good product over at Fanball.com. So while I probably had other opportunities to look at other potential people to buy, my first priority was NFFC.
I knew all those Coronas you were buying me over the last 5 years were worth something.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll
tell you what,
Greg,
we got another one that's going to be joining us this year. It'll be, it's going to be not Labor Day night, but that's Saturday night for the main event.
Mm-hmm.
I got my girlfriend, she'll be joining Scott and for the main event that evening.
Perfect.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
keep her away from that pole that Ryan's bringing to Chicago.
yeah.
it's
fun to see it branch out, and
yeah.
You know, we'll make things happen and continue to make things happen. I know there's a lot of things going on in the fantasy football world, but you know, NFFC. I mean, we can make it happen.
Well,
over
absolutely.
Again.
You know, one of the things I want to say is we do have a retention rate of 75% in football and over 80% in baseball. And so we've been growing internally. Like you say, maybe you've recommended it to somebody else and they grow and they join. So we've got a nice user base, but we really haven't grown the new users as fast as we'd like to do it. Tom would admit to that. So, you know, we really think that this acquisition and Fanball's partnership in promoting this is just going to help us grow faster than we ever have before. Because once we get the customers, Tom and I know how to take care of them, but we need more customers.
Well,
yeah,
Greg, I mean, I would love to talk to you about the baseball deal because we're primarily talking about football tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you talked a lot about the baseball deal because I'm big into baseball. So we can
Our baseball event is huge, and we're the only one in the industry, and we're going to be even bigger next year.
We've got another caller. Ryan, why don't you stick around if you can? If not, I understand we've got a caller using Click to Talk. You're on the air with Greg and Tom and Ryan from the NFFC.
Hey.
Talk. We've got you on the air.
Hey, I heard y'all talking about sports earlier. Is this the show about sports?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Well, yeah, we're gonna go ahead and put you on hold here for a minute. We might be able to take some questions here in a little bit. We're gonna be releasing some of our sleepers and our duds, and we're gonna break down a little bit of preseason football. But right now, we're talking about the high stakes competition, the National Fantasy Football Championship, and that's the website too, NationalFantasyFootballChampionship.com. It's a long one, but you have to bookmark it, so you don't have to worry about it. And you guys are going to – I'm sure that we're going to see some marketing efforts here, you know, to push into some more of the mainstream. I just know that's what's going to happen here.
Ryan?
Oh, for me, you know, I definitely think that, you know, we have some opportunities. I think that one of the things that gets kind of lost in all the transition was the fact that not only did we buy NFFC and NFBC, but we bought all the print assets for fantasy sports publications. And it's funny because, I mean, I get – one of the things is when I presented the idea to – management was, you know, Ryan, you don't really want to buy more print, do you, in a dying industry? But if you look at FanDuel's print business, we're steadily growing over the last 5 years. I mean, we're selling more advertising than we ever did. We're selling more magazine and news than we ever did. We're selling out from a subscription perspective online. As we were talking today, Charlie, who will be a vital cog in what we do at NFFC and NFBC, runs our magazine description, and we didn't have any more annuals available, and we normally have 200 or 300 magazines left to ship out to NFFC and to do a bunch of stuff with. We are out. We are completely done. We have no more available. So we're going to take the fantasy sports publications. We're going to grow those as well. We're going to give them a new upgrade, a new look and feel. And you know what? We're going to have a million magazines on the newsstand for baseball and football, and that says something. That's a huge reach that we just don't have now, and I think that'll be something good. So while magazines get a bad rap, I understand that. At the same point, I think they're very important to fantasy guys who just want something early. And like right. You said, we'll be the first, like this year, one of the things we're planning on doing, and I don't want to get into an infomercial, but we're going to have a magazine out for baseball before Christmas. And that'll be a great stocking stuffer. And baseball will be something, again, we'll be able to start talking about NFBC very early, and we'll do the same thing for football. We want to be out early, and we want to attract as many users as we can to our live events business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and guys, you know, Greg can attest to this too. One thing that we've seen with the live events is our magazines draw a lot of our business, and probably the strongest source of our participants in both baseball and football have come from our magazines. People who've seen the stories that we've run. We run stories on our national winners every year. The last few years, we've run a two-page spread where we put pictures of a number of the people who've won money from us to show, not only to give them a little bit of a moment of glory, but also show that we do pay our people every year, and they end up winning a lot of money from us. So those magazines have been a very strong source of advertising and promotion for our events. And, you know, like Ryan says, you know, magazines do get a bad rap, but people buy them every year, and for us to have that kind of a reach for our events is going to be pretty significant for us.
I remember when Robin Eddy won the NFF.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a big deal, and I showed my girlfriend Rachel, and next thing she knows, I mean, she was showing her friends, and, you know, it was kind of a big deal. So, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, we put our champions on the cover of the magazine. Some guys have said they want to be on the cover more than they want the 100,000. I know they're lying, but
yeah.
Oh, they're lying. I just want to tell everybody in Chicago, two of the last 3 years, if you had dinner with Mike and I, you won $100,000 in the NFFC.
You're a winner.
Okay, so Rob Benetti, 2-3 years ago, and then Dave last year.
Yep.
You know, it's just one of those things. But well, guys, hey, you guys are welcome to come on Red vs. Blue anytime you want. Stop by because we need to talk fantasy and we need to talk Green Bay Packers when you guys come back. So
there you go. Sounds good.
Yeah. We're looking forward to it. I know Tom Brady is 6 points per touchdown. If he has the type of year, let's say 85% of the year that he had 2 years ago, what pick is he worthy of in your contest?
Well, if he had put up that many points, I mean, he had 50 touchdowns that year, he would probably go in the top five or six. I mean, our quarterbacks are the number one scorers. Breeze had 414 points, I think, in our scoring system last year. So right now, Brady is going around 18 to 20, and he could be a bargain in that second round. So it should be fun to watch. He looked good the other night, and I got to believe he's moving up people's draft boards after seeing him yesterday.
Do you guys remember if Tom Brady was on the championship team from 2 years ago?
No, he wasn't. No,
he was
the guy,
okay.
Troy Young, picked Brady and Moss that year, 2 years ago, and he led the regular season, but he didn't finish strong. But
okay.
Brady was not part of the championship team during his big season.
All right. Well, guys, thanks for coming on. We appreciate you guys breaking down the news for us.
Greg,
on Red vs. Blue. And Greg,
thanks,
Tom,
lot,
Ryan,
guys.
Thanks. You guys
thanks.
Are welcome to come back anytime.
All right. Thanks,
okay.
Scott. Good luck this year in the NFFC, too.
All right. Thank
all
you.
Right, we'll you bet. Bye.
We'll see you. And Ryan bringing up the possibilities of the poll in Chicago, Mike. We'll be back.
Yep.
We have to take a real quick commercial. We'll be right back. 60 seconds.
Hi, this is Greg Kellogg. You know the routine. It's Friday night. You're looking over your lineup. It's either Lavernius Coles versus the Browns or Lance Moore versus the Falcons. I'm a serious fantasy player, and regular fantasy advice just won't do. I need to know, without a doubt, that the fantasy advice I'm getting makes sense. That's why I listen to Red vs. Blue Fantasy Sports Radio. Catch Scott Atkins and the Red vs. Blue crew chat room every Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for those difficult-to-make lineup decisions. I'll be there. Will you?
All right, Mike, we're back on Red vs. Blue, and that was...
What's that? I'm looking at the...
Vernon Davis looked pretty good tonight, man. I'm telling you, a couple
whatever,
of plays,
he might be a
sleeper tight end. He looked like he could actually catch the ball. I haven't seen the guy catch in, like, forever, and he throws, he fires it in there a couple times, catches a couple of balls. Listen, I've only got a little bit of time here, Mike, so be patient with me. I've got 13
okay.
minutes just to talk about the preseason games. We appreciated having the NFL.
Thank God
on.
You're not going to talk about Vernon Davis.
No, well, you never know. I tell you, as I watched that Titans game the other night, I had this just sneaky feeling that Lindale is going to steal even more touchdowns this year from Chris Johnson.
I do it. Scott, what did I tell you about 3 months ago? I said the guy has lost weight. He's looking good.
And so I don't know. I'm kind of tempering my expectations of Chris Johnson. An absolute fantastic talent, and no doubt about it. Yeah, but when you've got a player that you can bring in and give a breather to after you bust a long one for 30 yards
yep.
or something like that, you're going to see a lot of that from Chris Johnson. I think Lindale might even have a bigger year in touchdowns than what we saw last year. Somebody in the chat room, Lance, bringing up Chaz Shillings. Shillings. I want to give credit and props. I want to give credit and props to that play of Chaz to my boy Steve Waremski, who is from retiredrookie.com. He's that dynasty blogger that we had on a couple of weeks ago. His sleeper was Chaz Shillings, and sure enough, he has a great start the other night, just looking like he can catch the ball and make moves and just abuse those corners. You know, he seemed like he had an easy time with it, 5 for 52. So I wanted to give Steve his props there. In that game, Mike, Romo looked sharp. Roy Williams, I don't know if they're ever going to click.
Yeah.
And Roy is my dud of this year. He's going in the fourth round right now, and there is no way, child, please, no way I'm going to take Roy Williams in the fourth round.
There is no way I'm going to take Roy Williams. There's no way I'm going to take Tony Romo.
Oh, Romo looks sharp.
I will take Jason Witten, but
okay.
You know that's too big a price to pay. So
well, yeah, it just depends on where. I won't take Roy in the fourth. I won't take him in the fifth, and I very likely won't take him in the sixth. I don't want any part of Roy Williams. Sam Hurd may have just locked up a nice job. 5 of 79, and he looks pretty sharp the other night. And again, a preseason, so take it with a grain of salt. But I'm telling you, that's just kind of what I saw.
Yeah.
We got the Pats took on the Eagles. The Eagles here, Michael Vick is. Hey, Mike, I told you he would go somewhere. And he comes on with the help of Tony Dungy, I think was huge in him getting a team. Sure enough, he's over here with Andy Reid. Does this, I was talking to Alex the other night, does this slightly hurt McNabb and Westbrook?
No,
maybe
no,
both?
No, no, it helps McNabb and it helps Michael Vick at the same time. Michael Vick needs to learn how to throw the football instead of running. And this is a chance for him to learn under Donovan McNabb how to throw the football. He's not going to – I mean, he might get, what, 3-4 reps throughout the year. That's it. Michael Vick is going to do nothing this year, but he's going to learn. He's going to learn the game,
I don't know. As a,
and he's going to learn his way.
I'm not worried about Vick as much as I am just, again, being in the Wildcat, maybe stealing a couple of touchdowns from Westy, or maybe when McNabb usually runs those in, you know, they get near the goal line and maybe they bring in Vick as a weapon.
I don't think he does. I don't think he's going to be put into that situation at all.
Well, you didn't think he was even going to get signed, so come on now. You know, you're having to backpedal a little bit. I want to hear a little bit of admission of I was wrong. Say it. Go ahead. I was wrong.
I was wrong.
Okay.
Wrong.
Well, you're going to be wrong tomorrow in our local draft that we've
We'll see about that because I'm owning that league, dude.
Brady looked as sharp as ever, 10 of 15 for 102. You've got to like what you see there out of him and Moss again. Moss, 354, catching that long 35-yarder there. Maroney got the starting nod, and while he didn't do anything, I thought that was very interesting to see that he gets the first carry of the game. I don't know what that means. Just keep your eye on Maroney, even if he's just not doing anything but getting the starting nod. Maybe that's a vote of confidence because everything I've heard, he's third, fourth, fifth on the depth chart at running back. And then Chris Baker, 3 catches, 22 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I heard
Chris
about
Baker comes over from the Jets. Maybe Moss, I know FFPC, you've got to have your tight ends. Maybe Brady has something going, some good chemistry with Chris Baker. Definitely a guy to keep your eye on, and he's got to move up in the rankings. We've got for the Eagles, we've got LeSean McCoy looking, just see how his game translates. Obviously, he needs a Westbrook injury. I think they'll keep Westbrook fresh this year. You will see McCoy in action. 10 of 55 carries, two receptions, 12 yards, a little bit involved. Selleck got hurt, Mike. He separated his shoulder. He's day-to-day, and they've already lost their rookie from Florida, Cornelius Ingram. So Selleck getting hurt, again, it's just an injury, but we need to look at it day-to-day. This Washington-Baltimore game, I'm telling you, Washington showed absolutely nothing. It was like they didn't even show up to play. It's like, you're kidding me. We have to do preseason. They showed absolutely nothing. I just get so sick of seeing the same Washington offense roll out there.
Did you see the LaVell Betts when they said the B-E-T-T-I-S?
No,
the back
I
don't know what
no.
You didn't see
no.
that?
No, I missed it.
It was funny. It was funny.
The story in that game, Mike, I thought was Ray Rice. Ray Rice, wow. 5 of 22, 3 of 38 in the receptions. He's going to be heavily involved. Mike, I think Ray Rice has elevated his stock enough to be a potential fourth rounder. If you need a running back and you're in the fourth, maybe coming around the 4-5 turn, I don't think you can pass him up if you're on there on the 4-5 turn. I think you've got to snag Ray Rice if he even makes it that far. I think he showed that he can be heavily involved.
Well, I'm going back to one of the Josh Daydrigger's decisions was Ray Rice, Willie Parker. And,
yeah,
on
field.
You know, yeah, I mean that was a great decision or a great question to ask.
Yeah, kudos to
Josh
on that. Yeah, I took Rice. That Arizona Pittsburgh game, Hightower looked decent, 6 carries for 24 yards. So you were right, Mike, about this Hightower. I think he gets the start. I think he's going to hold off well for quite a while. I think they'll rotate in and out. And unless Wells really does something to outshine this Hightower. But Hightower hit the hole pretty good. I saw him squirt through there a couple of times, knocked off a 10-yard carry. I kind of like
Wells.
What I saw. And that was Hightower. He busted off a nice little 10-yarder against Pittsburgh and the starters.
Great.
Breston looks as quick as ever. Steve Breston, if you guys, I know, Mike, you like him, and you grabbed him in that red versus blue first satellite draft. You grabbed him in the 8th round. And Breston knocked out 5 catches for 52 yards like a blink of an eye. I was like, okay, wait. Yeah.
I'm feeling really good about this red versus blue satellite league. I mean, I really am, Scott.
Yeah.
It fell to me.
We've got Pittsburgh, Sean McDonald showing that he could be that wide receiver three there for 69. You've got Lima Sweet and Mike Wallace also in contention. I really like how Mike Wallace looked, too. He looked like he could grab a couple of those long balls and go up and get them. Moving on to the Dallas-Oakland game, we already talked about Romo and Hurd. McFadden looked fantastic, Mike. McFadden, four carries, 63 yards. He busted off a 45-yarder.
For the end zone. Trying
yeah,
to anyway.
Well, I tell you what, another sleeper of mine is Michael Bush. There's no way that Justin Fargus gets more than a week or two at this gig, at this chance. I don't think he makes it through preseason as the starter. I think it's going to be the McFadden and Bush show. McFadden cannot carry that many times. Bush is going to be there. It's going to be kind of like a McAllister-Bush role. And Bush, Michael Bush is going to get a whole lot of carries this year. I think he gets at least 150 carries. I really do. I think his first year he's going to get
I totally agree with you, Scott. He's going to get a ton, and he's going to get a ton of opportunities, and this guy is huge. People do not realize in the NFL community how big this guy is.
Well, we had the Jets tonight. Sanchez looked pretty sharp. You got to go ahead and give Sanchez the job right now. 3 of 4 for 88 yards. You got David Clowney, 3 for 102. Lock it up. Lock Clowney up for the number two row. He's got so much speed. It's exactly what that offense needs.
Preseason.
I'm a Jets fan. We've been looking for a number two, and I think Clowney said that's my spot, guys. He's the deep speed. Cotterie, the possession guy, and Keller, Mike. Keller better be moving up your draft boards. Keller is the weapon on that offense. He is going to do some big things. I've got him right now at number 6 overall, right there with Owen Daniels. I'm pretty excited about what Dustin Keller brings to the table. And I saw Jeremy Shockey tonight for the Saints, Mike. Shockey, better watch out with Drew Brees. Shockey actually looked pretty good. He caught a bullet from Brees, and could Shockey might be a sleeper. That's all I'm saying. You got to watch Jeremy Shockey if he's healthy.
No. The one thing about it, it's preseason. I do not care for these preseason games. The only game I care about is the week 4 of preseason. I want to see what happens then and now. But as far as today goes, no. I'm not
all
concerned
right.
about what's going on.
Meacham caught a ball, 3 for 77 and a touchdown. Maybe he's finally getting things together. And anybody in the New Orleans Saints offense, fellas, you've got to keep your eye on. Robert Meacham may just supplant Devery Henderson in that role with the right year. Cincinnati had Chris Henry looking sharp, 6 for 93 and a touchdown. I'm telling you, if this kid gets a shot.
Somebody from Cincinnati looks sharp?
I think if he gets a shot, he could do something. I really do. I think Chris Henry is a red zone type guy. He always has been, deep speed. Ocho Cinco, his stock is going to be elevating every single week. Chad Johnson, if you thought you were going to be able to steal Ocho Cinco in the 4th, I think he's inching up closer to that end of the 3rd spot, and you're going to have to pay a high price. The Minnesota-Indianapolis game that we saw, Rosenfels, lock it up. It's his job. Go ahead and safely draft him now. 10 of 13 for 91. Tavares was just absolutely awful. 7 of 15 for 39. Donald Brown is breathing down a guy's neck already in the first game. He busted out a 38-yarder on the Vikings. You have to respect Donald Brown. I'm telling you, I get into this, man. Preseason.
You know,
it's here.
That's what it's all about. I mean, but I do not get into the preseason until about week 3 or 4 of the preseason. In 2 weeks, we're going to really have a lot of stuff to talk about, Scott.
Oh, I won't even be able to contain myself. Marshall, not guilty. Where does he go now? 181 targets last year. Marshall is sitting there right around the area where I'm drafting. Welker's off the board, Roddy White, Dwayne Bowe. I'm thinking about Brandon Marshall in this area just because of his immense upside, and if Orton can get things going in that offense. I'm telling you, Denver is a sleeper team to beat their wins. Their wins over under. I think if you go on to FFPC, Dave has a thread there. But they are overhauling this team, and I think that show, if you guys are watching this Bengals show, this Hard Knocks, coaching is so important. And we can talk about that another week, Mike. But hang tight. We're going to have overtime here in a minute. This has been Red vs. Blue. We had a great show. Thanks to everybody in the chat room, the Red vs. Blue crew. If you want to come back and listen to the podcast, we're going to talk a little bit more, about 10, 15 minutes more of overtime. This has been Red vs. Blue. We'll see you next week. Right back. Red versus Blue.
What better time than now?
All right, Mike, we're back. It's Red versus Blue. Sorry we had to let that play out. The switchboard has given us a little bit of fits, Mike.
Again?
Again, man. Well, you know, they've got an upgrade package here, and, you know, if we start making a dime here or there, we might be able to pay for it. Or maybe if we can win our NFFC league, maybe we can pay for the upgrade. But for right now, we're just going to have to keep.
What you just told me, it gave us the fits. Put that in the back of your mind, the fits.
Gave us the fits.
Oh.
Write that down. Okay. All
write
right.
Write it down.
Yeah. I'm glad I got you around for that kind of stuff, Mike. Glad I got you around for that. Okay. Hey, look. The WCFF also announced their Tier 1, 2, and 3 leagues. Okay. These are satellites, Mike, and it's kind of an interesting format. Here's what they do. You start with a Tier 1 league, a $250 entry fee. If you want to start at the bottom, go ahead and start at the bottom. $250 entry fee. If you win that league, and again, it's a 12-team league, three divisions, 14-week regular season. The three division winners are the number one seeds. They're all in the playoffs. the top division winner. And so you've got three division winners plus the number one in total points left over. Those are your four teams that go to the playoffs for the 2 weeks. And then what they do is they say, look, if you're the number one seed, if you scored the most points and you won your division based on head-to-head, if you are the most, if you're the number one seed, you get to pick your opponent from the other three for the Week 15 matchup.
Ooh.
You get to pick your opponent. You can pick your poison. You pick your poison.
I like that.
Yeah, kind of neat. Okay, I like it. And then week 16 is obviously for the title. First place wins a tier 3 entry next year, okay? Now, a tier 3 entry next year is a $1,500 satellite league, okay? Kind of neat how they're doing this here. They're giving you entries into bigger leagues. The tier 3 entry fee is $1,500, but the first place prize in that league is a tier 4 entry fee plus a main event entry. So you not only win a main event entry, but you win a tier 4 entry. And a tier 4 entry, Mike, is a $5,000 satellite league, okay? And it's a $5,000 satellite league that you have a free entry into. And if you win that league, you win a main event entry plus a platinum league entry that's worth $25,000. The platinum league, Mike, is the creme de la creme here of high stakes fantasy football. $25,000 entry fee. The winner takes home $200,000 in a league of 12. Okay, that's big.
Well, let's face it. If you're going to do this and be dedicated to do it, you don't want the cash. That's nothing. You want to get to the creme de la creme, like you said, and go to the next level of getting to fantasy football. I mean, that's
all. Well,
awesome.
Yeah, you'd have to start at your $250 entry fee. If you wanted to start at the bottom, you'd have to win that. Year two, you're in the $750 tier two. Year three, you're in the $1,500 tier three. And year four, you're in the entry fee $5,000 tier four. So it takes you 4 years. If you win that fourth year, you get an entry into the Platinum League, and that'd be your fifth year. You'd be sitting at a table where everybody else has ponied up $25,000, and all you had to pony up
so
was $250.
Cool. That would be so cool.
It would take some great odds to do that. Now, if you want to jump in at the tier entry, if the tier three entry fee of $1,500, it only take you 3 years to get you to the Platinum League entry, and you get your main event entry paid for. So, and they pay out all the way to fourth place. So, yeah, I mean, and the cool thing is, look, if you're tier three and you pay your $1,500 entry fee, all you got to do, all you have to do, Mike, is place fourth to get your money back. You place fourth, and you get a tier three entry next year. So you're back in it next year if you at least get fourth. Now, who can't at least get fourth in any 12-man league that you're in, right? So,
kind of neat. I mean, Rachel would love that, and you know, that sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, Scott, I mean, let's face it, surely goodness, with the brains that we have, we could finish fourth or better.
Yeah, it depends on the night. It depends on the night. Well, hey, look, we went over some things. Again, I'm telling you, another player we didn't talk about, Chester Taylor. He's a guy that's just underrated always, but he put up pretty decent numbers last year as all day's backup. And he's a guy that I think obviously presents great upside, okay? He obviously has upside because if an injury happens to Peterson, you've got a great running back, and I think you'd see a lot more Harvin there too. But Chester Taylor is a guy that if you have an injury or if you have a bye week, and Chester Taylor's a guy you can plug in with very little reservation. He's going to give you a 10-point day with an upside of 20. And he's a guy, if you look at how many points he scored last year, you know, four touchdowns, 45 catches, six touchdowns in total, and another 800 yards. He's a guy that can get you 10 easy.
I'm going to have a hard time taking Chester Taylor based on what happened 3 years ago. But anyway.
Yeah. But he's in the ninth round, though. Ninth round.
You're on the clock right now, Scott. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
You have the first pick.
Yeah. First
the
pick.
The first pick.
Yep.
You're on the clock.
Well,
what do you do?
In that league, I don't take Peyton Manning. I don't take Mark Sanchez.
You're not gonna take Michael Vick?
No. I'll play it safe, and I would go with an MJD or an Adrian Peterson, one of those guys. I'm gonna flip a coin. I'm not gonna have all my eggs in one basket. I have MJD pretty much everywhere, and I'd
but
like to have
running
I'd
back,
like have,
and then come around. You've got to go wide receiver. Who's gonna be left?
Well, it's interesting that you even bring this up, Mike. I'm in a league right now for the FFPC. It's a satellite league number 4. It's a $250 entry fee.
Uh-huh.
Draft Experts Plus. And basically what that means is it's a best ball format, but you are picking up waivers. You're just not having to submit any lineups, but you are allowed waivers.
Right.
And we took Maurice Jones-Drew from the 1-1, okay? And coming back at the turn, here are the players that were available. Steve Smith, Marion Barber, Pierre Thomas, Brandon Jacobs, Ronnie Brown, Jason Witten. Steve Smith, Pierre Thomas, Marion Barber, Ronnie Brown, Brandon Jacobs, Jason Witten. Great options.
I don't think that's a very good option at all. First off, I'm going to block you of Pierre Thomas.
Well, yeah, you knew I would take Pierre there. I did. I took Pierre.
Yeah.
But I also took Steve Smith. Steve Smith falling there because he had an injury, and everybody gets all freaked out, and they start letting him fall. Well, he's already back practicing. Okay, I mean, come on. What do we really have to be worried about? It's Steve Smith. He's okay. He's fine. The only person we really considered here that we didn't take, and again, we were high on Pierre Thomas, but it was Marion Barber. Marion Barber, Mike.
Yeah.
This guy, I mean, he's a touchdown machine. Everybody is loving what they're seeing out of Felix Jones. He's electric, right? But
yep.
Marion Barber is still Marion Barber, and he's still going to get touchdowns. He's still going to get a ton of work.
He's still, I mean, inside the 20, inside the red zone, they're going to give it to him. I mean, that's the guy that's going to get it done.
Yeah.
But I tell you what. I am really high on Sam Hurd because what I saw, oh my goodness, what I saw last night. I'm high on this guy, and I really believe that Sam Hurd could be a guy that could, make a difference in fantasy football stats. Not necessarily for the Dallas Cowboys because I'm concerned about him.
How do you think Jerry Jones is going to use Felix Jones, though? Is he going to really cut into Marion's carries?
He's got to.
I mean, he's got to, huh? He's that good.
Yeah, he's got to. He's a second quarterback. In the second quarter, Felix Jones is the guy. Marion Barber is going to be first, third, fourth. Second quarter, coming into half, Felix Jones is the guy.
Well, we didn't get I somewhat agree with you, but again, you could basically say that Marion Barber basically missed three games. The last three games of the year, he wasn't hardly even playing at all. He had 10 carries all three games. He wasn't healthy, and he still had 235 carries and 50 receptions. Now, I had this conversation with Mike Santos, an avid fantasy professional. He's like 50th overall in the world right now. He's much better than that. He's actually a top 10 player in my book. But we had this discussion about Marion Barber, and I'll tell you, I just kept saying Felix is going to cut into his carries. Felix has to be on the field. Felix is electric. What? Felix is a playmaker. They've got to have him out there. Mike's take is it's going to keep him fresh. He's going to continue. They're going to run more than they did last year. I agree with that. And I think Marion Barber's still a guy that you could take in the second round and be safe.
Well, I think they're going to run more, and that's why, I was a little bit concerned when you made that trade when you traded Breeze for Romo. I mean, I was like, I don't know about this, because this team, I think, is going to be so much conservative.
I didn't trade it straight up, by the way, just so all the listeners know. It's a dynasty league.
Well, I know
that.
I got a couple of running backs
with it. Yeah, okay.
But I just think that the Dallas Cowboys offense is going to be so much more conservative than they ever have been before. I mean, it's going to be run, because, I mean, let's face it, they've got a ton of weapons at the running back position.
Well,
and
yeah, but
I'm not,
when you have Barber that can get 50 receptions out of the backfield, and Felix is the same type of back, they're going to use him out of the backfield too. These are guys that can put up 500 yards apiece in the backfield and have 1,000 yards for Romo. So don't be just too sure. I mean, just because they're going to use the running backs doesn't mean Romo's not going to put up the yards. Now,
these are guys that can get 4 yards and 5 yards a carry. So why not boom, boom, boom?
Sure. Well, yeah, I think they're going to have I think their offense is going to be just fine.
I mean,
fine.
It's going to open it wide up for Jason Witten. If they get 3-3, boom, Jason Witten. 3-3, boom, Jason Witten.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you. I think they'll be okay. Now, this other dud that I want to talk about is a sixth-round running back right now. I've even seen him go in the fifth, Mike. It's Willie Parker. And I tell you what, I cannot draft Willie Parker. Look at these numbers the last 4 years behind this offensive line. His average yards per carry, 4.7 in 05, in 06, 4.4, in 07, 4.1, and in 08, 3.7. 4 straight years, this guy's average yards per carry has just been tanking and plummeting. And they drafted a first-round running back. You got to look at him the other night, Rashard Mendenhall. He didn't do much. He didn't have much to say against Arizona. Arizona kind of, you know, really shut him down. He had a nice little run, you know, just to say, hey, I'm here. But
well,
I think Mendenhall is going to – I think this is the year that Mendenhall takes over for Willie Parker.
Well, I totally disagree with you on that one. I think Mendenhall is a bust. I don't see it. I don't see the electrifying energy that he needs. You got to bust through them holes, and Mendenhall can't do that right now.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I think what I saw in Illinois is still there somewhere. I think he's the type of player you can buy low in Dynasty right now and feel pretty good about. Okay. Well, Mike, hey, it was a good show, buddy. We've got our draft tomorrow. I'm gonna be picking you up from the casino, and we'll go and have our draft. And, hey, good luck to you, buddy.
Sounds good,
we'll be back here.
Thanks, man.
We'll be back here next Friday night. Everybody tune in. The Red versus Blue Satellite Draft will be here. Do not miss it. It is a blast. It's a lot of fun. We're going to shatter our records that we set last week, gang. We're already over the 15,000 viewer mark now, the listener mark. And we're going to be debuting NFFC. We're going to be debuting Red versus Blue TV. At the NFFC draft in Chicago, we'll have Dave, Mike, and myself. We'll all be there, and we're just looking forward to it.
Think we'll do that on hand, right there, where everybody can watch us and do.
I've already talked to the guys, and they're more than welcome to let us set up a table, and we'll be broadcasting
live. A lot of fun.
From the draft room on Friday night. So
a lot of
everybody,
fun.
Yeah. Hey, we'll see you guys next week. The FFPC. Big payback draft next Friday night. Set your calendars. Mark us a favorite. Don't go anywhere next Friday night. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Scott.
See you, Mike.